Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. So many times in our lives and in the lives of every human being alive on the earth today, fear drives our behavior, and it also drives us into a place of depression and of frantic living and of unrest. And the reason why we have fear is that we are not currently, presently, in a intimate oneness relationship with Christ. Now, I'm not saying this is a message to believers, so I'm not saying we aren't saved. I'm just saying that there's a lack of the oneness that God desires for each of us to experience with Him, as He said in John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer, actually, whereas the Our Father which art in heaven is actually more better called the Disciples' Prayer. And Jesus prays that even as He and the Father are one, even so we might be one with them. And He anchors it all in verse 3 when He says, "This is life eternal." This is the whole reason, the chief purpose of it, that they might know Thee, Father, He says, "and Thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ." John 17, verse 3. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love casteth out or vanquishes all fear. So if I have fear in my heart and life, I'm not dwelling in the perfect love of God. And so if fear is reigning either completely or partially, that's an immediate indicator on the dashboard of life, if you will, flashing red light saying to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And remember, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that it's a spirit of fear. So we do know that, at least partially, demons can be involved, because the scripture calls it a spirit of fear. And we also know that perfect love casteth out fear, quote unquote, 1 John 4:18. And then it says, because fear hath torment. Now, we could talk about that forever. Every one of us knows what it's like to lay in bed at night being worried about something that's happening the next day, or something that might happen, which usually doesn't happen. It's been proven that most of the things we worry about never happen. That's interesting. Also, fear of the unknown, or tomorrow, if you will, not literally a 24-hour tomorrow, but the future. Okay, we don't know the future, but we are the sons and daughters of He who owns the future, and He will never leave us or forsake us. Now, the question is, are we leaving and forsaking Him? That's the question. Let's read the text. 1 John 4:16 through 18. And remember, Saints, everything in the kingdom of Christ is rooted and grounded in a relationship with God. It's all about a relationship. That's what we just cited in John 17:3. Life eternal. This is the purpose for it, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That's why the Father sent His only begotten Son, that we might know Him. So 1 John 4:16 through 18, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Do you know and believe the love that God has to you? That is, while you were yet a sinner, Christ came and died for you. Notice verse 9 of this same chapter, 1 John 4. What a chapter, by the way. "It was revealed openly, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live," or have life, "through Him." Verse 10, "Not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation," that means atoning sacrifice, "for our sins." And that's how we were brought to Him. Verse 19, "We love Him because He first loved us." So this gives a little background and a little context to what the Apostle John by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is telling us here in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There's so much here that can be meditated upon, each word, each phrase. So we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. You know, I got to confess, sometimes I have a problem believing his love toward me, and that's getting a lot better as the days and months and years go by, but it's sometimes difficult because perhaps I'm looking at circumstances or something. But we have known and believed the love that God had to us. So we have to have faith, which cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we know that God loves us, and he proved that, as we just read in verse 9 and 10. His love was manifested when he sent his only begotten son for us 2,000 years ago. I'm reminded of Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? A few verses later, he says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And yet there's that personal experience, if you will, in the love of God. The scripture tells us in Jude 21 to keep yourselves in the love of God. You have the positional, you also have the practical. So keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's Jude verse 21. Also, I'm reminded of Hebrews 4:11. We're to labor to enter into that rest. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know, the illustration comes to me as I read this verse, which I don't ever think has ever come to me till now. It's like you're out there working hard. Many days in our lives, we're working hard. We have a vision of being home and being able to rest, right? Because we're working so hard, maybe we're in harsh conditions. And so we have this vision of getting home and being able to lay our head down. Many of you, all of us that have been in the military, know exactly in a big way what this means. Because in boot camp and in wartime, you're under treacherous conditions. Okay, in this last day, there's going to be a lot of treacherous conditions. And there already is things that stress us out and things that cause there to be turbulence, turmoil, and potential things to fear. Luke 21 speaks about the fear that is going to come upon so many in the last days, and their hearts are going to fail for fear. Luke 21. We are to labor to enter into that rest. So it's that long, sweaty, harsh day. It might take on one meaning for one person and another for another, but it's not an easy flowing day. And so you have this vision of being at home. You know, that's kind of a microcosm of our lives that we endure to the end. Jesus said, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved." And he's speaking about the great turbulence that the nation rising against nation, iniquity abounding, many false prophets to beware of here in Matthew 24. He says, you got to endure to the end to be saved. You got to make it to the finish line. You've got to abide in Christ and with Christ to the end, or you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You've got to be determined and rooted and grounded and have root in yourselves, as Christ put it, that you're going to be one of the wise virgin believers. You're going to, not in your strength, but it does involve your own personal resolve, that you're going to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to labor to enter into that eternal rest in the New Jerusalem, praise God, Revelation 21. And you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. We are in a warfare. It's for the souls of men, and that includes your soul. And you're either going to fight the good fight of faith. You're either going to get violent and take it by force, as John the Baptist put it, Matthew 11:12, or you're not going to make it. To everyone, each one, without exception, of the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus told them at the end of his letter to them that only those who overcome, it's a condition, are going to be with him. Only those who overcome. Only the overcomers will reign on high. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Also, we have scriptures like Acts 14:22. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. First, he says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Obviously, there will be those who depart from the faith instead of continuing in the faith. Colossians 1, 22 and 23 offer the same exhortation. You've got to continue in the faith. You got saved? Good. Stay saved. And that requires you to abide in Christ, to seek his face and deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Be soundly grounded in an abiding relationship with him, fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. What is fighting the good fight of faith? Well, you're fighting to maintain your relationship with God. You must hold to the Lord. It's 1 Timothy 1:18. Holding faith is what it says. You know, these Calvinist devils and once saved, always saved, talk in terms of God holding on to you and never letting go. Well, if you let go of him, he's going to let go of you. If we deny him, he also will deny us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we forsake him, he also will forsake us. I believe that's 1 Chronicles 15:2. Also the book of Hebrews, all the way through the book, especially the 10th chapter. You got to endure to the end. You got to continue in the faith. Notice verse 19, 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith. That's your responsibility. Keeping yourself. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's your responsibility. You do it. Okay. A relationship requires both parties engagement and participation. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. So it's like the five foolish virgins who will be shut out of the kingdom of Christ, even though they swore that they had been engaged to the bridegroom, which they had been. Jesus makes that clear, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, in his parable of the 10 virgins. But only five of them stayed in relationship with the bridegroom they were engaged to and were welcomed into the eternal bridal chamber. Are you going to be welcomed into the eternal bridal chamber with Christ, the bridegroom? Is he going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? What do servants do? They serve their master. Everybody is a servant of some master. Are you a servant of Jesus? Are you serving the master on his terms and no other? If you're not in the Word, you don't even know his terms, and you're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. So many people think, well, yeah, I go to church. Oh, that has nothing to do with this. In fact, in most cases, they are misleading you. Okay, they're not giving you the part and parcel of the whole counsel of his conditions and his terms. They're leaving all kinds of stuff out purposely to tickle your ears. It was prophesied, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, so you don't know what they're leaving out if you're not in the Word yourself. You're already backslidden if you're not in the Word of God yourself. Daily. Serving Jesus is either daily or it's not at all, according to him, Luke 9, 23 and 24. Holding faith, 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith. That requires your participation. These once saved, always saved cowards go crazy when somebody introduces the truth of personal responsibility before God and personal accountability. They hate that. You think a bomb went off, man. I mean, I've never seen so many demons manifesting. There was a time on social media when I posted, I said, "You're saved? Good. Stay saved." And I mean, those demon-possessed eternal security frauds came out of the woodworks. It was a firestorm, to put it lightly. Okay, they don't want anything to do or that requires anything to do with or that requires their personal participation. They just want their little ticket to heaven, okay? They want to use Jesus, so they think. He sees right through their sham and he sees into the intentions and the motives of their heart. They just want to use him to get out of hell. They could care less about knowing him. They want to cherry pick a few verses out of context to the exclusion of the whole Word of God and live under this delusion. They're going to have a rude awakening, to put it lightly, on judgment. They're going to hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And that is right after Jesus gave the parable of the 10 virgins, where five were terminated into the bowels of eternal damnation. In other words, it was shut out of the bridal chamber of eternal glory with the bridegroom, Jesus. The Bible is very clear about this, saints. It's very clear. So perfect love, speaking of being ready for the return of Christ, perfect love does what? It casts out all fear. One of the things it casts out is the fear of not being ready when he comes back. Notice verse 17 in 1 John 4, 16 through 18, our central passage today. "Herein is our love made perfect," or mature. Is your love being made more perfect, beloved? As you seek God, His love is going to consume your life more and more and leaven out the fear. I love Proverbs 1:33. It says, "Whoso hearkeneth unto me," are you hearkening unto Jesus? Are you fellowshipping with Him and seeking His face diligently? "Whoso hearkeneth unto me," that's the big condition right there. We could easily read right over that, right? The promises of God have conditions, and only those who meet the conditions are going to receive the promise, including the ultimate promise of being with Him eternally. Oh yeah, you get saved the moment you believe, you repent and believe on Christ, but you're not home yet. And you must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You got to go through it. And God will give you the grace and everything needed to go straight through it, no matter how your life finalizes on this earth. Herein is love made perfect. Father, we pray that You'd make Your love perfect in us. Teach us Your ways, O God. Teach us Your ways. Let us be blessed to be imbued with the holy fear of God in the depth of our bosom. And teach us to love You, Lord, that we would love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let it be, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Herein is our love made perfect. John the Apostle is the only one who spoke in terms of love being made perfect. And I believe it's more than one time here in this fabulous book of 1 John. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Notice this. We may have boldness in the day of judgment. How many people are excited that Jesus is coming back soon and that we're going to be forever with Him? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's the last prayer in the Bible there in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Jesus gives the promise, the last promise in the Bible. "Surely I come quickly." That's in red letters. And that's never been more true, or should I say, we've never been closer to the return of Jesus than we are now, right? And then it says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's the last prayer of the Bible. So we have the last promise and the last prayer in Revelation 22:20. And then this verse 21, the last verse in the Bible, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And boy, that's one thing we need is a multiplication of the grace of God, the divine influence of God on our hearts, and the divine power and the operational power, the divine ability of God in us, bringing His will to pass in our lives as we work out, not for. We don't earn our salvation. Jesus did that. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:12-13, I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. He said, "I labored more than they all, yet it wasn't me, but it was the grace of God that labored, which was in me." See, the grace of God. The grace of God is definitely the unmerited favor of God and the divine influence of God on our hearts, but it's a whole lot more of that. We've got a post on safeguardyoursoul.com, and I think if you'll just put in the search box the word manifold, M-A-N-I-F-O-L-D, it means the many-faceted. That's what manifold means. Manifold grace of God. That's how Peter termed it. It's many faceted. Most of us only know the facet that concerns our initial salvation, where it's the unmerited favor of God. We don't earn it. He provided it and gave it to us through Christ and in Christ. But anyway, if you'll look up, I'll tell you what, look up the grace category on the drop-down menu, or just go to safeguardyoursoul.com/grace. There's about 15 posts under the grace category. One of them's called Resting in His Love. Also, we've got other ones. How about this one? The Exceeding Riches of His Grace, and goes into deeper biblical revelation concerning the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 speaks of, I believe it's verse 11. 10 or 11. Grace in the Highest Authority is another one. And that one is got a podcast with it. Highly recommended. I believe your heart will be richly blessed and edified with the Word of God contained therein in those messages. Okay, so we're talking about the phobias that can literally control our lives, control them. In fact, fear actually controls the lives of every person, literally. without exception, that is not one with Christ, and especially not in a growing, love-perfected relationship, which comes by the oneness we experience with the Lord, where perfect love casteth out fear. Now, you and I have been saved for a time now, haven't we? I've been saved for a few years, definitely, decades, actually, and so have many of you, but we all know that we've lived in places where we had fear in our hearts, and it's so innate. The fallen human existence or the fate of fallen humans, that it's almost natural to us. Some people worry about not worrying. They look for things to worry about. You know, this is how we're brought up in this fallen world with Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, the small g god of this world, dominating and bringing death, stealing, killing, and destroying upon all the souls of men. And the only way to overcome it is through Christ. And how did Christ overcome Satan and sin? By dying. See, it was through dying that he defeated death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, Jesus defeated death, and I would include everything that's of the devil, including fear, by dying. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, notice through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. Hebrews 2:14, that's a verse I want to encourage you to get to know. Also, Acts 26, verse 18, Jesus came to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Fear is under the power of darkness. It should have no place in our lives, and it doesn't have to. Jesus came to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That would include the spirit. It's a spirit, at least in part, of fear. I believe the sinful nature also plays a big part in that. And that's why we need the cross, beloved, like Jesus, who conquered Satan and sin by dying. As we're crucified with Christ, we're dead and buried. We resign ourselves to be dead and buried so that the old man is crippled and brought to naught. This has to be daily. Christ is raising us up by his resurrection grace. And we've got another post I want to point out to you that I believe it's going to change your life. And it is dealing with the resurrection. Look up resurrection. It's called Resurrection Grace. Wow. Resurrection Grace. God's going to raise up those who obey him by laying down their lives in this world, this fleeting world. They're going to be empowered by the Spirit. They're going to be in a oneness, an abiding relationship with Christ. And fear is going to be cast out. Perfect love cast out fear. 1 John 4, 16 through 18. In verse 17, we find that it includes looking forward to the boldness in the day of judgment. Herein is love made perfect. Here's how we know our love is being made perfect. That literally means mature, okay? When we're full of the love of God through that oneness, abiding, crucified life relationship, we're going to have boldness in the day of judgment, not only when we get there, but leading up to it. Because he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall they not with him freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God wants to finish and will finish what he started. That's what he told us in Philippians 1:6, that when he saved us, he's going to continue the good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if you just look at that scripture, and the Calvinists and once saved, I always say people like to isolate it to the exclusion of the rest of the Word of God. They'd even take it out of the context of that very book and say, there it is, it's automatic. Once you get saved, God's going to do his work all the way to the end. He doesn't ever fail. Yeah, but men fail. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we forsake him, he will forsake us. 1 Chronicles 15:2. So herein is love made perfect. Here it is. How do you know when the love of God is becoming matured in you, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, standing before him in the righteousness of Christ, which is the only righteousness there is. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's a very despicable terminology he used there to get his point across. Then it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. How many people listening would say, Lord, I want to be full of your love. I want your love to consume me, oh God. Make me one with you and the Father, Lord Jesus, and with your body. Bless me to have that authentic, abiding relationship with you, Lord Jesus, as you describe. Now, that prayer is based on St. John chapter 15 and 17. Now, I want you this week to become engrossed in those two chapters and listen with your heart as you pray that God will open the eyes of your understanding. There is no fear in love. And God is love. He just said that earlier in verse 16. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We are not love. We're dependent on the fellowship and the oneness we have with Christ and the Father, who are love, for his love to imbue us, to fill us. And when his love leavens, if you will, in a good way, and it fills us, it's going to force out all fear. You know, and fear has torment. We all know that. One person may fear one thing and another something else. And fear is a blessing. Having fear should drive us to have peace, to settle the issue with God, to come before him in fresh repentance and confession of all sin. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if we're living in fear, we're not made perfect in love. And the good news is that we can be. Now, as we close, I want to point you to a post we have, and it's even on one of the top menus we have, and it's called Fresh Start. I've needed a lot of fresh starts in my life with Christ. What about you? I believe we can all say that. In fact, I prayed with a man this weekend that said, I need prayer. And he just threw his arms up. I need prayer, man. And told us why. And I said, we're going to pray for you, but we're also going to have you pray to externalize from your own heart a fresh repentance in laying down your life into the hands of God and confessing your sins and returning to the Lord. And the cross was preached to him, and repentance, the need for both, not only to have God touch you in a special way, but the follow-up is the cross and getting in the Word and fellowshipping with the Lord first and foremost every morning. Take a look at it, friends. Fresh start with God. We get emails and messages on social media nearly daily. And this message goes out to people who have been saved, but they find themselves living in sin or struggling or fighting against the flesh. That's, you know, the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So you got to crucify the flesh, and you do that by the power of the Holy Spirit in you and your own decision, if you will, or resolve that you're going to live for the glory of God and not yourself. You're going to let Christ reign in your life and not sinful, wicked self. Check it out, friends. Fresh start with God. Thank you for listening. We will covet your prayers for the fruitfulness of this outreach. And if you need special prayer, send a brief request. Make it brief, please, to info@safeguardyoursoul.com. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.